Encourage you to turn in your Bibles, the Pew Bibles, to Acts chapter 20. I'll be reading verses 16 through 38. You know, it's this passage is about the Apostle Paul. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He wants to be there in time for Pentecost, very important time for him. And part of that is that Jews will be gathering from all over the region, and he wants to be there. And he sails past Ephesus, a place where he'd spent 3 years, and then sends for the elders from that church. He didn't want to linger there. He just wanted to be able to share with them his final words. And these are his final words to them. We find some really important things. I'm just a few months away from retirement, and so I'm in the process of kind of giving my final words to you. And I've been thinking about this for a while. And one of the things that has been in my mind since seminary is what's included in this passage where Paul will share with the Ephesian elders that he has taught them the whole counsel of God. And we're going to take a look at a little bit of what that means. But today starts a series. It's the introduction to just kind of what I'm calling the whole counsel of God. But it's also a summation of my ministry here at Parkway. We'll be looking at then some of the important things and highlighting who God is and what he's calling us to do and what it means to be the church. And a church that'll be in transition. And transition not just for a year. You're going to have an interim minister, or they call them transitional pastors now, and then receiving a new pastor. So there's going to be this extended time of transition. And so what does it mean for Parkway for that? I'm also looking at this time to say, boy, are there places where I need to fill in the gaps, the things where I either missed or I didn't talk very much about? And one of those places is the end times. I've not spent a lot of time there, partly because I don't think that's the major focus of Scripture, but we'll look at that. But the whole counsel of God. You know, if you're looking at the outline that I have here, you might be going, whoa, are we going to be here all day? There's 23 sub-points. So if I were even to take 1 minute per sub-point, there's 23 minutes right there. We're not. This is a shotgun blast. Walking away today, the major thing that I want you to take with you is this growing in the whole counsel of God. It's not just knowledge, it is the transforming work of God within us. It's something that we're called to know and desire and to willingly submit ourselves to, this whole counsel of God. So another thing that I want us to do today, we're going to be looking at this Acts 20 passage, but also the 1 Peter passage that Dee just read, and then our affirmation of faith was from 2 Peter, and I used the assurance today from 1 Peter. I wanted us to see something very, very important, and that is the united voice in Scripture. Peter and Paul. Now, they weren't great buds who hung out together and did stuff. They had different callings. In fact, at one time, Paul called Peter on the carpet for being a little bit disingenuous about his faith around Gentiles. And Peter learned from that. But they respected one another. Peter, his ministry was to the Jews. Paul's was to the Gentiles. But their voice in Scripture, which, of course, comes to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is one united voice. So we'll see that as well. So let's take a look at this passage then in Acts. The other thing that I just want to point out right now is you have an insert, the essentials of our faith. This is part of when we came into the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. These are the essentials. They say this is what it boils down to. This is what we believe at its core. These are the things we don't compromise on. And yet, at the back, you see this beautiful thing. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. So these essentials are really just part of the historic and orthodox theology of the Christian church. So part of the whole council. In fact, it's, you know, a lot of the knowledge stuff, but we get down to number 7, where it quotes Ephesians 2, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. These good works, it's part of the whole counsel of God. It's who we are. It's how we live out our faith. So let's turn over to Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 16. And we're going, now again, Paul is calling for these elders. It says, "For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them," now here's this beautiful speech, teaching, preaching, whatever it is, but it's Paul sharing his heart with them. He says, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying to both Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful, most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship." So as we come to look at the whole counsel of God and the heart that is there, you can see that as a pastor, and as I'm preparing to depart, why this passage is very precious to me. So the whole counsel of God. What my mind sometimes does when I look at Scripture is I start thinking of categories, and as I piece things together, and the categories that I have seen here And it's not the only way of looking at this passage, but I see the purpose of salvation for us and the path of faith, the things that we're called to do, and the pitfalls then to being faithful to Christ, but the power of God that is made available to all of us. And then the personal character that we're called to have, but that God develops within us. So these are the things that we're looking at today. Again, just kind of this shotgun approach to this. So that's one of the great things about then having this outline, is that you can just come back and you can look up these references yourself and just kind of meditate on this and see a little bit about the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God is not contained here, but it gives us a direction. So the purpose of salvation for us. Now, salvation is more than just we're saved from our sins. We're not only saved from our sins, we're saved for something much greater. The purpose of being in relationship with God forever. So the purpose of our salvation, and in this we see in Acts 20, verse 26, the atonement that is there. So in verse 26, when Paul says, I testify to you that I'm innocent of the blood of all, he's talking about the atonement there, the blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus that saves us is here. It's an important part of the whole counsel of God, because without that, without the atonement, there's nothing for us. And so it begins there. And then in verse 32, he talks about the inheritance that we have, that the inheritance of all that we receive in Christ. That's part of our salvation. It's guaranteed of what is out there. We have inherited. And what have we inherited? There's something great, but it includes our sanctification. See that big word that I threw out at the kids, and for all, it's important for us to understand these words. Sanctify means to make holy. God is making us holy. It means that in the end, we will be fully sanctified, made holy through what Christ has done for us. It's part of our salvation. We're not just left in this struggle that we have in life. And how do we choose the right thing in this battle of the flesh? But there comes a time when we'll be fully sanctified, and that is there. And then in 1 Peter, here's the way that Peter just kind of, in just a nutshell, describes, you will be blessed. So Peter describes it more in other places, but in the passage we have today, just, you will be blessed. It's verse 14. What is that blessing? He's just talking about all of the blessings of what it means to be in the kingdom of God, to just be embraced by the Heavenly Father. So the purpose of knowing the whole counsel of God is to come in to salvation. The path of faith. So as we're called by God, we come into this salvation. Right now, we have a path of faith that we are to walk. There's things that we are called to do. And so what is this? This is part of the whole counsel. We're called to serve. In 1 Peter, Peter says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. We have hope, don't we? Hope in that eternal life with God, that He has sanctified us, made us pure and holy. We have hope. So when people come up and ask you, well, why do you have that hope? How can you have hope? The world looks hopeless. We're ready because we know the whole counsel of God. We can give an answer. Paul puts it this way in Acts 20. Verse 21, 24. He says that he's testifying about repentance and faith. There's part of that defense. What do we want to share with people? We repent because none of us is perfect, but we have faith in God, and God honors that. So he boldly testified about repentance and faith. And he declared, right, the whole counsel of God. This was there. But there's more, this path of faith that we go, and it has to do with the way that we treat others. We care for one another. And so in 2035, in all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, we are motivated by the joy of sharing the resources that God has given to us. The vast resources, not just, we're not talking about money, we're talking about time and the training and the education that God has given to us. The way that God has worked within us in a very unique way that we can impact other people's lives. So that we know that our calling as we come into God's kingdom, that we love God. God is the primary focus of our lives. He's the desire of our hearts. But the second thing is to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what we're called to do. That's part of the whole counsel of God. Therefore, we remember the weak. And the weak are people who are hurting for whatever reason, that don't have the resources. We come alongside. We give encouragement and support in various ways. And that is part of living out the whole counsel of God. So we work hard. Another part of this is to guard the flock. This is mostly called a calling for the elders of the church. And in a time of transition for the church, it becomes vitally important for the elders to really be watching out and be guiding the transition. But here's what Paul says in Acts 20:28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Pay careful attention. It is important to watch out for the flock. And so that's part of the whole counsel of God, caring for the people of God. Why? It brings us to the pitfalls. Paul has something very specific in mind here. And he goes on to say this. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. One of the reasons that we left our previous denomination and came into the Evangelical Presbyterian Church is because as the elders worked through a process and looked at some of the teachings that were happening in the previous denomination, some of those very, very basic, that it wasn't everybody there, but many would not embrace Jesus as the only Lord and as the path to salvation and as the hope that we have. And some looked at the atonement, that Christ hanging on the cross, as something horrible. But they didn't feel, I don't need that. That's barbaric. And yet it's foundational to life. And so there can be those false teachers who come in, and Paul would call them fierce wolves, and so Jesus, and the false teaching can sway people. So there are pitfalls to our faithfulness. We want to be alert. Another part of the pitfalls, the things that can challenge us, that can cause us to question God's goodness, is suffering. And there's various types of suffering we go through when we lose something or someone precious to us. And part of the loss might be our health, might be position, whatever it might be, where the struggles that come in, the suffering. And so 1 Peter chapter 3, what Dee read earlier, is that even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, now, not all of our suffering is because of we're suffering for righteousness' sake. Now, Andrew Brunson, church planter in Turkey who's being held, his suffering is for the sake of the gospel. But there is an element of the way that we suffer that does become for Christ's sake. That's part of the whole counsel of God, the way that we do things. So when we suffer in life, as we do it in a way that honors Christ, we are suffering for righteousness' sake. But suffering can be a pitfall. But we have faith. We have things that are given to us by God to help us through these difficult times, whether it be false teachers or suffering. And just scattered in the passage here in Acts 20, Paul just gives us so many things that help us. They're God's gifts to us. And the first gift is the Holy Spirit. And if you were to sit down like with a highlighter and be going through this passage, you just say, I'm going to highlight the things that have to do with the Holy Spirit. You'd come across verse 16, the day of Pentecost, because that's when the Holy Spirit was given to the church. And verse 22, constrained by the Spirit. Verse 23, except the Holy Spirit is testifying to me. And then verse 28, that again, the Holy Spirit is there. Paul relied upon the Holy Spirit. Paul taught that we walk by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We live according to the Spirit. The Spirit produces fruit within us. We're equipped with all that the Spirit has for us. So the Holy Spirit is the power of God available to us. And the Spirit is the sign and seal of our inheritance, the assurance of our salvation. Power of God is also made available. We talked about the blood of Christ. We probably have not sung many of the hymns in the past few years about the blood of Christ, but they are important. We have a whole section in our hymnal that's entitled The Blood of Jesus Christ, because it is through the blood that we have the atonement. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have life. And when we realize that, when we focus on that, we recognize even if we are spilling our own blood for the sake of Christ, we come back and we go, but the blood of Christ, the most precious drops ever spilled on the face of this earth. The blood of Christ is for me, was poured out on my behalf. Then it gives us strength. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's found in verse 21. What I want to focus on there is the in Jesus Christ. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Jesus the Lord. In Jesus, who is Lord of all. If Jesus is Lord of all, and he's on our side, then he is equipping us and giving us strength. When Jesus was leaving his disciples and gave them the great commission of making disciples of all nations, he said this great promise, Lo, I am with you always to the close of this age. I am with you always. Jesus the Lord is with us always. He is that indispensable, indefatigable resource that we have. He is for us. In verse 36, after Paul had finished telling the Ephesian elders his heart, it says that he knelt down and prayed with them all. Prayer is a great resource. It is the power that we need. It's our connection with God. Even when we don't know what to pray for, because Romans 8 tells us that at times we don't, but the Spirit intercedes for us. And so prayer, and it isn't just our individual prayers, which are important, but it says he knelt down and prayed with them all. Our corporate prayers, praying together, is vitally important. It is a gift from God, a great resource. Our united voices together. And it's part of the whole counsel of God that we be a people of prayer. Then the gospel, the word. And the word of God is living and active. It's in Hebrews. It's the scripture verse. It's in your bulletin. The word of God. It's the gospel of the grace of God. The grace of God. God's overwhelming, forgiving, restoring, sustaining, sanctifying, justifying, transforming, love of God. It's big. It's huge. It's there in God's word. And the Spirit works with this word of God that is living and active to transform us. So that's the power of God made available. Now, God is transforming us. He's changing us. The characteristics of who we are being molded and shaped to become more Christ-like. And we see that in these passages. In 1 Peter, verses 13 and 16, we're zealous for what is good. And then verse 16 is our good behavior in Christ. See, we're zealous for doing good behavior in Christ. So that zealous attitude, it is our focus, our direction, our desire and our energy in that direction. Verse 15 of 1 Peter, honoring Christ the Lord as holy. Having that whole mindset, that attitude, that submission, honoring Christ as holy. Who is holy? God alone is holy. And so we honor Christ as holy. And again in 1 Peter, verse 15, we do everything with gentleness and respect and with a good conscience because it's in God's will. So those characteristics we have to have with one another, gentleness, being respectful, and seeking to have that clean conscience in all things. Again in 1 Peter, we endure suffering. Characteristic of endurance is important, not just for ourselves, but for one another. You know, every week, and really every day, we're praying for healings to take place. God, heal this person. Deliver this person from whatever the thing might be. And sometimes we don't see that for maybe months or years or maybe ever. It might be God's will that God's power is at work helping that person to endure. And there is a witness, a beautiful witness of who God is, of His grace working within us when we endure. So endurance in the midst of suffering is being developed within us. Living with integrity over time. This is what Paul explained to the Ephesians elders there. He said in verse 18 that you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day I set in Asia. And he was with them for 3 years, three solid years. And he had this consistent witness. And he says, I just hold that up. So for all of us, we're seeking to live out an integrity throughout our entire lifetime, living out the gospel of Christ and serving with humility. So verses 19 and 24, where we see him say, we serve with all humility and with tears. Tears, just laying out his heart before people and being vulnerable, so with humility. And it's important for us to finish what God entrusted to us. It's another side of that endurance, but you know, that stick-to-itness in what God wants us to do in life. So verse 24, you know, Paul says, I don't count my life of any value. That's the humility. If only I may finish my course and the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus. It's true for all of us. We want to finish that course. And then he says in verse 33, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Now, a positive way of saying that is just simply this. I was content with what I had. Contentment. What a beautiful inner quality for us to have and to strive for is contentment in Christ. So that is what God is doing with us. Part of the whole counsel of God, the contentment, being content with God working within us in different ways and saying, God, what you have given to me is good and sufficient and becomes a blessing to others as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your whole counsel that's given to us in all of Scripture. In the coming weeks, as we just explore this a little bit more, again, never mining the depths of it, but growing, help us through your Holy Spirit, make it come alive. And may our desire, may our yearning in life, our zeal be for you, Lord, for knowing and living out the whole counsel of God. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.